You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev and the 2017 Chevrolet Silverado. 0% financing for 84 months, plus up to 10 grand in price reduction. This is better than employee pricing and better than 20% of MSRP. Check it out only at Lakewood Chev. DraftKings.com is having the $5 million guaranteed fantasy football contest with $1 million first place prize. You can get in on that one. And also, if you go to DraftKings.com/Greger1260, get entered to win the perfect lineup for week one, $1 billion. Billion.
That's a lot of cash.
Yeah. Jeff Ulrich from DraftKings joins us now. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Jason. Thanks.
Do you like touchdown celebrations? Yay or nay?
You know what? When I was in high school, I played rugby, and our coach always said, if you celebrate after you score a try, you're going to the bench. So
yes.
I'm kind of a not celebration guy. I don't mind watching every now and then, but I'm kind of a Strudwick. It kind of gets a little old after a while.
Okay. Yes. All right.
Good. Thank you for your time. We'll talk to you next week.
But Strutty loves Odell Beckham, who celebrates like when he makes a catch all the time. So the hypocrisy is not lost on me this. So, let's start there. Beckham, they're saying maybe not ready for week one. Who can step up in his absence in a short period of time for the Giants?
Yeah, so I'm going to give you a name most people probably haven't heard about, but it's Evan Engram at tight end. He's been really worked into the first team offense in the preseason, and he really looks like a legitimate pass catching tight end that's going to work out in this league. He's only 2,900 on DraftKings for week one, but I think that he's going to be a guy who could step up in the absence of Odell Beckham. I know Brandon Marshall's there; he's probably the name most people are going to gravitate towards. Sterling Shepard, obviously, is there too. He's going to have a role, but Evan Engram's a guy who's viable in the red zone, and he is a rookie, but that is a name I will not be shocked to see pop up in week one against Dallas.
What about just up the road there, New England, fairly significant injury to Edelman. Who fills that or those catches?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's going to be, the Patriots, it's the Patriots, so we're not exactly sure how they're going to do it because they can do it in a million different ways, but the obvious names are going to be Chris Hogan and Danny Amendola. Danny Amendola is actually a guy who fits the role better. He plays specifically out in the slot. So, if you're looking for someone who's probably going to play in Julian Edelman's spot, it's probably going to be more Amendola than Chris Hogan. Now, that being said, I think Chris Hogan's a superior player at this point. He's just been used a bit more as a downfield threat by the Patriots in the past, and he'll probably stay in that role. I think the guys who are going to benefit the most, though, are going to be Hogan and Brandon Cooks. I think that the Patriots will just use them a little bit more, move them around the formation a little bit more. I think Amendola will still have a smaller role. And I also think you'll see Rex Burkhead in the receiving role a little bit more. So it'll be spread out. I think it really bumps up Brandon Cooks and Chris Hogan's potential, though.
Now, what about Spencer Ware injury done for the season in Kansas City? Kareem Hunt obviously slots in for him. Is this guy an automatic starter, or do you see KC slightly altering how they will attack without Ware?
I think people are assuming Kareem Hunt's just going to walk in and take kind of a three-down role. I don't think it's going to be that simple, personally. I think people are a little bit oversimplifying it. He's still a rookie, and he's pretty good. I mean, he's definitely had some good draft profiles, and his metrics are decent. And he looked okay in preseason, but he's not really a stud. He's not really a superstar, in my opinion. So he's a rookie running back. I think you're still going to see Charcandrick West in on passing downs. And I think that if, Hunt comes up with, like, an early-season fumble, I think you're going to see West a lot more. So I'm not as big on him as other people. I know people are talking about him just in season-long drafts, like as a fourth-round guy. The volume should be there. I think he makes for a good DraftKings Week 1 play. I would still prefer a guy like Carlos Hyde over him. Carlos Hyde seeing a ton of first-team offense with San Francisco. He doesn't really have anyone else decent behind him. There's no veteran back behind him. So I'm not as big on Kareem Hunt. I do think he'll have a role, and if he runs with it well off the start, he'll probably – become the main back, but I still think you're going to see a lot of Charcandrick West.
What about Cam Newton as a quarterback? I believe he just got on. He's getting back on the field Tuesday. Last Thursday. What do you think of him? And is he a guy you like? Because I loved him last year, and I got burned bad.
Yeah, it was a really disappointing season for Cam Newton. You know, Cam Newton's not a guy I like to go overboard with. If he's going to be, you know, drafted highly, it just comes down to a few different things. The way Carolina plays, and just kind of his whole mantra as a quarterback, he's not super accurate. He can definitely sort of have those blow up games. And he really just, you know, the concussions are starting to add up with me for Cam Newton, because the big thing that he brings to the table is running. And he's such an effective red zone runner. And the fact that Carolina drafted Christian McCaffrey, they also added Curtis Samuel, who's sort of another hybrid runner, it just tells me that they're probably going to try and run the ball and use these guys a little bit more. It might take away from Cam Newton's upside a little bit. Now, that being said, Cam Newton's, you know, he's a proud guy, and I think he's due for a bounce back this year. He did arrive to camp late, so there's a lot of different factors around Cam Newton. Overall, he's a guy I'm kind of avoiding this year. Maybe in, you know, on a DraftKings later in the season, if he starts to come around and shows that he's back to fully healthy. But he's not a guy that I'm super high on this year.
Jeff Ulrich from DraftKings.com joins us. Go to DraftKings.com/Gregor1260. You can enter in our free fantasy football contest. Of course, you have until next Thursday to get in for week one. And if you get the perfect lineup, it's a $1 billion bonus. Billion with a B. Not with an M. Now, it's funny that when a team, oh, funny is probably the wrong word, when they lose a young receiver and everyone's like, man, their offense is done. But Meredith Cameron and the Bears kind of illustrates maybe just the lack of overall playmaking they have, where this guy's injured now for the season, and that's suddenly a huge hole for them to fill.
You know what? You hit it right on. I mean, of all the injuries we're talking about, the team that's going to be most affected, I think, is going to be the Bears. Cameron Meredith was the Bears' primary playmaker. He's a really good young receiver. I hated seeing him go down because I really liked him for fantasy this year. And without him, the guys behind him, there's just no other receiver that's going to pick up the number one status there. Kevin White was drafted high. He has not looked like a number one receiver at all since he's entered the league. He has not looked good in preseason, again, in my opinion. So people will look, he'll get more targets, but I don't think he's the answer. Kendall Wright will probably pick up targets too. He's not a number one receiver. He's a slot guy. The interesting player there right now is Zach Miller, tight end. He's a good pass-catching receiver. He's dealt with some injuries, but I think he'll see more targets overall. Overall, I just think you're going to see Chicago go more conservative, which is really going to hurt their potential. I think it hurts Jordan Howard's overall upside as well. So that's a guy I like, but I'm kind of a little bit down on now too. I do think you might see a trade there. Like, they might bring in a guy like maybe Alan Hearns or Jeff Janis, which could be interesting. So watch for that for fantasy in the next few days. But I think it really is going to hurt the Bears' upside.
One thing that always comes up for me when I'm doing these drafts is when you look at a team like Tampa Bay, who has so much depth at the skill position. You know, we're talking Jackson, Evans. You're talking about some of the other, the rookie, Godwin or whatever. How do you approach that? You still just take elite players because they're the leader. Can it get watered down a little bit, you know, as far as targets?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to look into these situations. And Tampa Bay is interesting because I really thought it might hurt Mike Evans a little bit. But from preseason, Jameis Winston is not going to look anywhere except Mike Evans first. I think he's absolutely locked into Mike Evans. And Jameis Winston is a guy who's got good mobility. I think he's actually developing pretty well, but he's not really a guy who's going to look all over the field. He's kind of a slinger, and he likes Mike Evans. Mike Evans is a huge target. I think DeSean Jackson is definitely on the downside of his career. He's not a guy who's willing to sort of go out there and go over the middle anymore. He'll probably pop with a couple long catches because he's so athletic. You know, people thought O.J. Howard, who was the athletic tight end Tampa Bay drafted, might hurt Mike Evans too, but he hasn't really been integrated. He's sharing stats with Cameron Brate. So I still think Mike Evans is in due for a huge year here, and I don't think he's going to see much of a target draw.
Interesting you mentioned Cameron Brate. Had the most receiving touchdowns of any tight end in the NFL last season, and probably one of the guys who, you know, when you think of that number, you never would think of his name.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He was kind of just a red zone. He was kind of the anti-Mike Evans. I mean, teams were doubling him, so he just became sort of the de facto number two in the red zone for Tampa Bay. His production could be hurt by O.J. Howard as the season goes on. But like I said, Howard hasn't worked, you know, specifically with the first team. They haven't really got him a ton of targets. So it doesn't look like Tampa Bay is in a rush to work him in. So Brate is definitely still going to be a guy early in the season who could see some red zone targets.
Now, due to suspensions, and we'll find out exactly how long Ezekiel Elliott is out. I think his case starts tomorrow. But, you know, people think maybe the least it'll be is 4, and maximum it looks like it'll be 6. So is McFadden the obvious guy in Dallas? And who do you think is the obvious? Is it Rodgers the obvious one until Doug Martin comes back in Tampa?
Yeah, it looks like Jacquizz Rodgers is going to be the guy in Tampa. You know, for a fantasy play, it's not the worst thing because you're pretty much guaranteed he's going to see a lot of carries. The coaches really like him. I'm not a big fan of Jacquizz Rodgers. He's definitely not a guy you want as your lead back long-term. But again, especially for daily fantasy on DraftKings, you're getting guaranteed usage there, which is always nice. So it does make him a good DraftKings play. He's not a guy I would overdraft in season long because I think once Doug Martin gets back there, he's going to overtake him very quickly. As far as Ezekiel Elliott goes, it really does look like Derek McFadden is going to be given a pretty big workload. He's looked better as the preseason's gone on. I know the first time I talked to Mark on your show, Jason, I was kind of commenting how bad he looked in the first week, but he's actually looked really good in the last couple games. So I think that's going to work out fine. I think he'll get a big workload. Alfred Morris is still there, but they're definitely treating him as the backup. And there's really no sort of other passing back on Dallas. So Darren McFadden's set for a big workload until Elliott figures out his suspension.
After seeing what Zeke did last year as a running back rookie, you know, a lot of people are looking around for another rookie that might take a run at it. And one guy I've kind of zeroed in on, I hate to say it because I know all my buddies are listening. We're in the draft pool together. But Marlon Mack out of Indianapolis, is that a guy that you might want to look at?
It is, actually. That's kind of a deeper name that most people probably aren't throwing out. But Indianapolis does not have much running back depth. And Frank Gore is on the wrong side of 30, like way on the wrong side for running back. So Marlon Mack's a good power runner. I think Indy's going to have to run a lot early in the season because I don't think Andrew Luck's going to come back anytime soon. I could see him missing up to 3 or 4 games. He definitely looked good in the preseason. And of all the guys they have behind Frank Gore, that's definitely a deeper name that I'd throw out there for sure.
Jeff Ulrich joins us discussing the NFL. Now, as we get closer, you know, it's the final preseason game, and a lot of people will do their draft after. Based on past history, is the mistake a lot of people make is put too much onus into what they see in the final preseason game? Like, should you almost avoid that, or can you take a lot of it in to see how a guy will react in week one?
Yeah, it's hard not to put too much stock into the last preseason game, but I think people do. I think people just forget. It's still preseason. These guys are looking at it as a dress rehearsal. And, I mean, we saw a lot of teams that I'm high on not play well last night, so like in preseason. Like, the Marcus Mariota didn't play well. Kirk Cousins and the Washington Redskins offense didn't play well. I'm still really high on those teams, and I'm not going to let it affect me, especially week one when I'm looking at DraftKings. A great player for a guy who's had a slow preseason to talk about this subject on is Terrell Pryor and Kirk Cousins. They get Philadelphia week one. Terrell Pryor caught like 2 passes the whole preseason, but Philadelphia's secondary is really bad. It's rated the worst secondary coming into preseason by Pro Football Focus. I don't think they have a cornerback over 6 feet. Terrell Pryor's 6'4", 220. He showed some really, really good wide receiver skills in his first year with Cleveland last year as a full-time player. I think that duo is really going to have a good year, even with the slow preseason. So you normally tell people not to put too much stock into it. It's good for looking at usage and how teams are sort of throwing out players, like snap percentages. But as far as like overall performance, don't put too much stock in it.
What about when you're looking at defenses? Is it reasonable to say that this will happen or this has happened in preseason? We expect this to carry through into the regular season, or is that just totally just start over and kind of look at last year?
I like to look at defenses in preseason for the simple fact that there's a lot of turnover generally, and there's a lot of drafts a lot of rookies getting inserted into the lineup. At the same time, teams are switching out personnel so quickly that, again, it's a little bit hard to tell, you know, who's giving up the big plays. So one thing I guess I'd look on is if you're looking at defenses, a team like Oakland is really interesting. They're going to have a couple rookie corners starting who haven't played in preseason yet. And again, come back to the Tennessee team I just talked about. They've added some good wide receivers there. That's going to be a mismatch week one, in my opinion. Oakland hasn't really looked good preseason. Now they have also probably trying to insert rookies week one. That's a team I'm a little bit concerned for in their secondary.
Jeff, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you later this week. Appreciate your time.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks, guys.
Jeff Ulrich. It's our NFL report brought to you by DraftKings.com.